looking forward to the message this morning, and we're in a little series called Finishing. This will be our last one. We're going to finish it today. First one, we talked about our building, and I laid it out for you. You can get that free DVD that talks about our building and where we've come from, what we can do with the $1.8 million that we have on hand. Of course, everything's paid for up to this point, and what would we need to finish? Get us into that building where at least we could have church. Not all the bells and whistles, but that we could do it debt-free or die, and then we will work our way forward. Y'all got that pretty clear now? It's important that you know that, okay? Last week, we did another message. Wasn't about a building at all, but we used that passage that we used the previous week because it's really talking about being a Christ follower. And that's what a Christ follower should finish. Amen? What Christ has started, He who has begun a good work in you will complete it or finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the goal that God has in your life, in my life. Not for, oh, I got saved, and then I started a church for 3 weeks, and I dropped out the rest of my life. Amen? Or I got saved, and now I'm just a little church hopper, like a grasshopper, but I hop the churches on Sunday around here. You know what I'm saying? Or I nitpick to death. God didn't die on the cross so you could go the rest of your life nitpicking churches. Are you understanding me this morning? Amen? Finish. Be a Christ follower. He said, any man having put his hand to the plow and drawing back is not fit for the kingdom. We went over that little passage where it talks about in Luke where, you know, if a man's going to build a tower, he needs to sit down and count the cost to see if he has sufficient to finish it. That's really talking about discipleship, being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. So y'all cool so far? Amen? So, last week we used the Apostle Paul. We talked about his verse that really just stands out in my mind. It has for years. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen? That's what he did. So, we talked about how to be a finisher, doing those three things. Now, today is Valentine's Day. So, we got a message this morning. Here's what it's called. Loving all the way to the what? Come on, now help me now. Loving all the way to the, what am I talking about? Finishing love. Finishing love. Say that with me. Finishing love. Okay, what Christ has started in me, the love of God, the Bible teaches, is spread abroad in our hearts now. I used to not care for people, especially Christian people. First time I went to church, my mama said, we're going to church. I went mad, cussed her out. 16 years old, we're walking up the hill. I didn't have a car, about a mile and a half to Temple Baptist Church. And I'm cussing her, mad at her, dressed in some kind of leisure suit back in the 70s, looked like a fool. You know? Here, that's all I had. Didn't know what I was doing. Where are we going? She'd watched Billy Graham on TV the night before in her chair, drunk. And now God, she got God somehow. We're going to go to church. I thought she was a lunatic. But I went with her for one reason. Keep that preacher from taking our last dollar. Okay? That's why we say here at this church, if you can't give cheerfully, you keep it. Because you're not going to say that about me. Amen? Give because you want to. I ain't taking it from you. Amen? Hello? So I was angry. I didn't love Christians. Hated them. Wanted to hit them in the mouth. That's how I felt. That's awful. Let me be honest with you. That's the way you were, sort of. Can I see your hand? Somebody in the house. Thank you. Three of us. Long story short, I got saved. My mama got saved. He put something in my heart called love. Loving God's people. I love you. I don't know if I'm a different kind of preacher or what, but I love getting my arms around every one of you and hugging your neck. I do it selfishly because every time I hug you, you're hugging me. Feels good. Gives me encouragement, gives me strength. Amen? But who did that? That did not turn me into, I didn't do that. That was God working through me, pouring other people into my life, even though I've tried to reject them. Even after I got saved, tried to keep pushing them away from me and rejecting them. But I had some good men of God, women of God, and some old women of God back home that just loved on me and just took us in, and they taught me how to love. Amen? And many of you have taught me that. Loving. All the way to the end. Y'all listening so far? Y'all ready to preach? Here we go. Come on. Here we go. Loving all the way to the end. How do I do it, preacher? How do I be a Christ follower? All the way to the end. got to learn from Jesus. Let's look at it. When it comes to finishing, and we're moving, Raj, Jesus did what? He wrote the book on it. Hebrews 12, verse 2. We've seen this verse several times in our little series. Looking unto Jesus, say it with me, the author and finisher of our... He finished it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. But now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, when it comes to finishing, Jesus wrote the book on it. The cost of being a Christ follower. Okay, that's what we've been talking about. Sometimes when Jesus said things in the scriptures, people got offended. I'm not the first preacher that offended people. Okay? Jesus definitely offended people when he taught. He said hard things. And that's just what happened in one of these situations. In John 6, there's a hard teaching concerning Jesus' flesh and his blood. There were disciples that were following him. Christ followers started following Jesus. And he started teaching them. And some of his teaching was very difficult. And this was one of them. Then Jesus said, John 6:53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Sounds like something from Transylvania. Doesn't it? You see what I'm saying? He's teaching. He's teaching in context. But they're what? Some people think being a Christ follower is just, I can just raise my hand. I just go to church. I'm a Christ follower. No, you're not. Being a Christ follower is going to cost you something. It's a commitment to Jesus Christ. Can you say that with me? It's a commitment to Jesus Christ. To his death on the cross. To his resurrection. It's a commitment. That's what he was talking about. He hadn't died yet. The context wasn't completely full. It freaked many of them out. Y'all understand so far? So what happened? Very interesting verse in the Bible. You should never forget it. John 6, 6, 6. Can you say that with me? John 6, 6, 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. John what? I just think that's interesting. You cannot be a Christ follower and have it your way. It's going to cost you something. Now, you can tell us all you are. You can play the game. But he's the one that's keeping score. He knows if you're John 3:16 or John 6:66. You hearing me? He knows if you're John 3:16 or you're John 6:66. All right? Hard teaching that he taught. Keep looking. As we move along this morning, and as I'm trying to develop this thought, Jesus loved others. He loved people. Okay? But, listen, he didn't continually pat people on the head to make them feel good or to get them to follow him and be his disciples. That's not what Jesus did. He didn't play church with them. Oh, we'll do it your way, and we'll pick out the color carpet you like, and oh, yeah, we'll do this for you. Oh, we get this. Yeah. He didn't do that. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Up, down, in, out. Where are you? You listening or not? See? So that's the way Jesus taught. It's funny now. See, Jesus has been gone a long time and everything. So we just make this church thing up a little bit different. We think we can live life, cheat on our wife, cheat on our husband, lie, cheat, steal, whatever. I love Jesus. No, you don't. You're a liar. Are you listening or not? This is tough talk on Valentine's Day. Do you love Jesus or not? I should be talking about it on Valentine's Day, I think. Amen? Tough talk, but I want to be a Christ follower. We're talking about finishing. It's going to take this type of talk to the team if we're going to be finishers as Christ followers. Amen? I don't just want to play in the game. Oh, we played. We got beat 93-1. I don't want to be in that game. I want to be the winner of that game. Amen? You're listening. So it's tough. So he didn't just talk, pat people on the head. He loved people to death. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't just come to hang out with people that were playing the game. Okay? Now, he was patient. He worked with people like Peter and others we see in the Bible, no doubt about it. But the bottom line is he taught some hard things. He did it on purpose to thin the crowd. Amen? So he loved people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Without question, you cannot read the Bible without knowing this. Listen now. Without question, Jesus primarily reached out in love, say it with me, to those who were. He did not come to spend his time on this earth to babysit. I think sometimes we paint Jesus like that as feminine, just hanging out. Jesus was tough. He was hard. He was murdered for his teaching. You know what I'm saying? His goal was to come and save lost people. And if you're not part of the program here, Jesus says, gone. You know what I mean? We're on a mission here. You understand? That's being Christ followers. Of course, he picked him 12 of them, didn't he? Picked him 12 guys to follow him. One of them ended up stabbing him in the back, betraying him. Is that correct? All the rest of them forsook him in what? Fled. It's tough being a Christ follower. But he primarily reached out to the lost people. Very important two statements we're going to make here. That's what he was about. That's why he came. Now, Fellowship Church, listen to us real loud and clear. That's what we're to be about. That's why we're here. We're to reach out to the lost. At Fellowship, we say we love Jesus and we love people. That's what it's all about. Amen? If you wonder, why do y'all do church, Pastor Gary? That's why we do church. Amen? Reaching out to people. Reaching out. Why do we bring a Christ family in next week? I love good music, but I also love the opportunity for you to invite people, and maybe next Sunday morning somebody can get saved. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. You know? That's why we do the things. Why do we get out the Chamber Expo? I could find a lot better way to spend my time. Why do we do that? Because we want to get the word out that we are a part of this community, that Jesus Christ loves you without shoving it down people's throats, but we can live before them that we're Christ followers. Does that make sense to you? Okay? We are Christ followers. Would you say that with me, church? Come on. We are Christ followers. You're not a Gary follower or a Fellowship follower. We are Christ followers. All the rest of us, we got issues. He don't. He's perfect. He's sinless. He's the Son of the living God. See the right hand of God the Father right now. Amen? You can follow him. He'll never let you down. He'll never lead you down a wrong path. Not one thing. If you agree with his word and believe his word and abide in his word, it will never steer you wrong. I will sometime. Amen? He won't ever. Follow him all the way to the end. That's what we're talking about. Loving people. We are to love how far, church? Somebody tell me. All the way to the what? End. Well, can I tell you? Well, I loved a little while, then they made me mad, so I quit loving. Sorry, that's not an option for you, Christian. Y'all listening? You ever known anybody to do that? Or you ever done it yourself? You just got mad at church or got hurt or somebody in the church hurt you and you were knocked out for a while. Can I see your hands? Come on, be honest with me this morning. That's over half the audience. You may as well go ahead and realize it. It's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. Bad situations are going to happen. But I'm a Christ follower. I've got to finish. I've got to love all the way to the what? End. So I need Jesus to help me because I messed up. Help me, Jesus. Luke 7:34, the Son of Man, this is Jesus talking about himself. He says, you say the Son of Man. They're telling us out here, you know, I hear it in the community, Jesus speaking. They say that I come eating and drinking. They say I'm a gluttonous man. They say I'm a wine bibber. They say I'm a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus says, that's what the word on the street is about me, boys. That's what they're saying about me. How did Jesus get that tag, that label? What does it mean? Let's just break it down. A glutton is somebody that's always eating all the time. That's what they said about Jesus. You're just always eating all the time with people. That's what I heard about him. And then a wine bibber. Man, last time I checked, he's always giving the wine. Jesus always nipping at the grapes with people. Everywhere he goes, he's always getting wasted. That's what they said about him. Look at this one. That man, publicans, he's hanging out with publicans. Who's publicans? Tax collectors and crooks. You know who he spends time with? Not people like us, good religious folk. He spends his time with lowlife, crooks and people like that. And sinners, what's that word? He spends time with sinners. That's what I'm hearing. You know, I've seen him do it. Who are these people? People of vice and crime. They're lowlife losers. Jesus says, this is what people say about me. They say that I eat and drink with crooks and lowlife losers. That's what they say. Now, here's the thing. That's the label they put on him, and guess what? It stuck. Yeah. Takes courage to wear a label like that. Did you go hang out with them people? Sure did. Were you with so-and-so, that person, that lowlife, the other day I saw you? Sure was. Oh, if you love all the way to the end, and you love people like Jesus loved people, it's going to cost you something, Christ follower. Are y'all listening or not this morning? Oh, it's going to cost you something. It's so much easier for me just to hang out and you to hang out with people who look like us, smell like us, act like us. Oh, how I love Jesus, us. Amen? That's not being a Christ follower. Because Christ came to seek and to save those who were what? Lost. How do I do that? How do I finish that? Man, I need help, Jesus. So he's going to help us. Loving all the way to the end. You can do this all the time. You can do what I did and study. This is so easy. This is the easiest thing to find in your Bible. Let's look at a few people that Jesus loved openly. Let's look at a few. You can open your Bible any day and just go to your New Testament. You can find people that Jesus loved. He was always loving people. I've got a few of them. I'm going to pop up on the screen this morning. Okay? Just to help us understand, I've got to love people all the way to the end. What kind of people? Let's pick out some real fast. Let's look at how Jesus loved people. He loved them all the way to the end. He loved his whole life. When Jesus Christ came and he began his ministry, he loved until the very last breath. That's how I'm to be a Christ follower. That's how I want to love. Are y'all listening or not? Say. I get so discouraged at times. I get so fed up with people. Some people say things about me. It's horrible. I hate it. It makes me sick to my stomach. I just want to throw up. But I got a call of God on my life. He's called me from Rockingham, North Carolina. Saved me. And he's called me and he's telling me, don't quit yet. You are not to the end, my friend. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't quit. And some of you are feeling that. You know what it feels like. I want to be a finisher. I want to finish. I want to fight the good fight. I want to keep the faith. I want to finish my course that God's called me to. Well, that course I'm on is loving people. Show me, Jesus, how you loved. Here you go. Raj, we're moving. Many of you will know these stories, and I'm not going to preach the whole story. Nicodemus, pop it up. It was risky to love this guy. Why? Because he was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. Jesus, in their minds, was preaching heresy, sedition. He actually met him at night. Very, very risky. But Jesus didn't come to play. Jesus came to save people. Amen? So he loved them. A couple of scriptures. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came Jesus by what? Night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles, Nicodemus speaking, that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be what? Born again. He can't see the kingdom of God. He didn't waste any time. It was risky to do what he did. And aren't you glad he talked to Nicodemus? We got the greatest verse in the Bible out of that. For God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? you're going to be a Christ follower, you're going to love like Jesus did, it's going to take some risk. You're going to get your heart broke. Daggum, you might get in trouble over it. Excuse me. You listening? But Jesus was on mission. Nicodemus, risky, risky, don't do it. Don't go out. No, no, I'm going. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God calls people to do that? He calls all of us to love people. But you know, I'm glad some old preacher there was in Rockingham, North Carolina, he was there not knowing a hell-raising teenager was coming that morning and really wanted to bust him square in the mouth. That was me. But he stood up, he preached God's word, he loved God, he did the right thing. I got saved. My drunk mama got saved. Amen? So it takes risk. Risky people. Keep looking. Very dignified guy Nicodemus was. Hard to talk to, probably. How about this guy? Zacchaeus. Was he a tall man, yes or no? No, short little rascal. Wrong. That's what I think of with Nicodemus. That guy is just wrong. He just, the way he lived his life, what he did, the way he took from people, thief, he was just wrong. People that are just wrong don't deserve Jesus, do they? Wrong. Jesus died for them too. Amen? Say. How many crooks we got in the building before you got saved? You're a crook. Can you see a hand? There you go. Good. There's your evidence right there. Crooks need somebody to reach out to them. Amen? This guy reminds me of this guy, Danny DeVito. Sorry. Don't you remember Danny DeVito on Taxi and everything? Always just, you know, just a bad guy. You know what I'm saying? And that little grin. Don't trust that grin. Amen? Let's get the story real fast. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was the chief crook. And he was what? Rich. Oh, yeah, a lot of crooks are rich. He sought to see Jesus who he was. He could not for the press because he was of little what? Stature. He ran before. He climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. He saw him. And said, he could have just said, hi, little man, but he didn't. He said, make haste, come down, for today I'm going to go to your house. Woo! Can you imagine what the people must have said? You're talking to that little sucker up there, going to go to his house? He's a creep. You must be a creep. He made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he's going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Oh, man, you're Christ follower, you love people? Expect people to talk bad about you. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any, and he had, by false accusation, and he had, he said, I'm going to restore it four times. And Jesus said unto him, today salvation's come to your house, for as much he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad he went to Nicodemus? Because that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible right there. How many love that verse? Stay in your seats, children. Don't get up. There you go. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, am I supposed to love people that are just wrong? If we don't reach out to them, who's going to do it? I'm not saying you agree with what they're doing wrong, no. But loving people. All the way to the end! Look at another one. Sinner woman. One of my favorite stories in all the Bible. Reminds me of my mother. A woman of reputation. You know what that is right there? That's a hooker. That's a prostitute. You mean Jesus reached out to prostitutes? People like this? Well, I want you to look. He didn't just reach out. He became an embarrassment, basically, so he could reach out to them. Look at this. And one of the Pharisees desired, just one of these religious uppity-ups, desired Jesus that he would eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house. He sat down to meet with and eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a what? A woman of reputation. Most likely a prostitute, a hooker.
when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box. So this is like Jesus being at the house of the pastor. And they're eating dinner. And this lady, this woman of the streets, comes in, listen to me, bringing an alabaster box of ointment. She stood at his feet behind him, crying, weeping, washing his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, anointed them with the ointment. How many would like get away from me? Well, I don't know that woman. Say, I don't have nothing to do with that woman. Say, how many would have slipped away and said, no, I spend time with you, the preacher. Had nothing to do with her. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he said within himself, this man, Jesus, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a what? Here's what Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. It's worth me going through the crud of having to be in this guy's home to reach you. You're worth it, ma'am. I love you. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this man that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved thee. Go, get out of here. Go, 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 go. You don't belong here. Amen? I could do this all day. Keep going. A Samaritan woman, and I got to wrap it up, I'm trying. A Samaritan woman, prejudiced. So we've seen risky, wrong, reputation, woo, prejudiced. The Samaritan woman, who is she? Which one of these women tick you off? Maybe it's the white woman, or the black woman, or the Mexican woman, or the Asian woman, or the Jewish woman, or the Muslim woman. Which one is it that you wouldn't go across the street, give the time of day for, or care for? Now, Roger picked all of them that were attractive. Your real world, they're not all that way, excuse me. But he's making the video. The point is, I wanted different faces. Is there someone you're prejudiced against? Being a Christ follower says, I cannot any longer be prejudiced. Why? Because I am a Christ follower. Did y'all hear me or not, church? I can no longer be prejudiced. Why? Because I am a what? Christ follower. Yeah, you ought to praise the Lord. That's good stuff. I cannot. I've got to love all the way to the end. Amen? Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Samaria was a place Jewish people didn't even go. If they had to travel 4 days to get from here to over here, they would do it so they didn't have to go through there. It's the way it was. Sort of how I used to feel about South Carolina, excuse me. Because I'm a North Carolinian. We swore when you cross the line, stinks down here. Lie like a dog. I mean, that's not true at all. But the point is, we're crazy, aren't we? There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says, give me to drink. Speaking to her, for his disciples were going away into the city to buy some meat. Then said the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You people are prejudiced against us. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that talks to you and says, give me drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then dost thou have this living water? And so he talked to her. She was amazed at the love of Jesus had for her. And she goes back and says to the town people, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the who? Christ. Amen? So he loved people. Amen? The prejudice. When we can't be that way anymore, church. If I'm a Christ follower. Fast, Lazarus was a friend, and his sisters were friends. I put the word scared up there. Sometimes situations are scary. What was this situation about? You know, it's like a bad neighborhood right there. You do need to be safe. You do need to care about your safety and all that kind of stuff. But kids in bad neighborhoods need Jesus too. the woman, the man that lives in a bad neighborhood, somebody's got to share Christ with them. Christ followers. It's not always the easiest thing to do. John 11. After that, he said to his disciples, "We're going to Judea." His disciples said to him, "Master, the Jews of late, they're seeking to stone you, to kill you, to murder you, and you want to go there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there's no light in him." These things said he. After that, he said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps," or has died, actually, "but I go that I can awake him out of his sleep." Then said he to his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He's dead. Fine. Leave him alone. We ain't going." Amen? But Jesus went anyway. He raised him. And later on, because he raised Lazarus from the dead, but the chief priests consulted that they might also put Lazarus to death. Why? Because the reason that Lazarus was raised to dead, many Jews went away and started believing on Jesus. Amen? You understand? Sometimes it's going to be scary to love. Talking about loving today on Valentine's Day. Last one, here it is. Thief on the cross. I could have done this forever. You can go through your body. That's the way Jesus is. You love people. This one really got me this week in my office. Jesus is loved all the way. All the way. And here he is. He's nailed to the cross. And I'm like, come on. I can feel, this is definitely me talking, but I can see Jesus saying, "You know, Father, I've done it. I've done everything you asked me to do. I can't do anymore." Okay? You ever feel like that with people? I can't do anymore for them. I can't love them anymore. Say, "I'm done. I've given my whole life. I can't do it anymore." So in his final hour, there's this guy on the cross. Looks a lot like us, doesn't he? Looking in the mirror. And one of the malefactors, the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him. Jesus in the middle, thief here, thief here. We're not getting one of these at the church. "If you be Christ, save yourself," one thief says, "and us." But the other answering rebuked the one thief, and he said, "Do you not fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? We indeed justly are here for this crime, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong." And this thief says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." I mean, come on. "Father, I'm wore out. Give me a break." Wouldn't you think? Say. Not Jesus. No. "Verily I say unto thee, today you will be with me in paradise." He loved all the way to the end. Did you get it? Say. And then he said, he's a finisher. He said what? "It is finished." Are you a Christ follower? When you came in, you might have thought you were. Not saying you're not, but I'm saying, friend, there's more to this Christ following stuff than meets the eye. Any man that puts his hand to the plow and draws back is not fit for the kingdom. Count the cost. See if you got what it takes to finish. Part of it is loving people all the way to the end. Follow Jesus in love, and love all the way to the end. Happy Valentine's Day. Amen. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're good to us. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you much. If you are needing to go to work, I understand that. Otherwise, we'd like you to stay with us. Let's close in prayer and let the Lord touch our heart with this word today. Amen? Father, I pray you'll bless your word to our heart. I pray it's been clear, it's been plain, it's been straight. Holy Spirit, I pray it'll find good ground in our hearts. I pray you will do that work individually in our lives today. Help me personally, Lord, to love people like you would, Jesus, all the way to the end. Change me. Do whatever you have to do in me to make me love people like you. You're the only one who can do that. I ask for that in my life. Help me, Lord, not to draw back, to give up, to quit. Help me to move more in your direction, more like you, to do more in this area. I pray if there's one here today that's not a Christian, I pray, God, that they would see how much you love them. Jesus, I pray that they would know that you love them. No matter who they are, what they've done, where they're from, what color their skin, you love them all the way to the end. Oh, God, I pray they'd respond with a yes, I believe in you, Jesus, today. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you sing this little song with me? A little simple song. Very profound, though. Let's do it. I know a place. Here we go. Know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us are nailed there with him, there on the cross. At the cross he died for our sins. At the cross he gave us life again. At the cross he died for our sins. At the cross he gave us life again. Amen. Praise the Lord. With heads bowed, I just have one closing question, and that is, if you die today, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? Do you know if you took your last breath, you'd wake up and see Jesus? Do you have that confidence? That's why Jesus came, to forgive you of your sins, to wash you and to cleanse you, to make you fit for heaven. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. The reason he came was to seek and to save the lost. He's seeking here at Fellowship today. Is there some that would say, Pastor, and I'm not going to come bother you, I want to lead you in a prayer that you can say right there at your seat, where you can tell Jesus you believe it. Is there any in the house today that would say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to do that. I don't have the confidence. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to tell Jesus today that I believe in him, that I accept his love on Valentine's Day. Can I see your hand just up and down? That's me, Pastor. I want to tell Jesus that I accept him and believe in him today. Looking for you. Am I missing you? Are you here today? That's me. I want to tell Christ I believe in him and no one else. Are you here? I don't know. But I'm not giving up on you. Whether you raised your hand or not, Christians are praying for you. Here's the deal. If you're sincere and honest, you ask Jesus to come into your life, you accept what he did for you, he loves you. He'll cleanse you. He'll save you. That's what the Bible teaches. It's not hokey junk. That's the real deal. So if you're ready, I'm going to lead you in a prayer so you can confess Jesus, and you can believe in your heart. Are you ready? Just silently, right where you stand. Pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. Tell him. I know I've messed up. And Lord, I ask for your forgiveness on this Valentine's Day 2010. And Lord, Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you did that for me, and I accept that. And I appreciate that. And I put my confidence in you, Jesus, and no one else. I tell you, I accept your love on this Valentine's Day. I want to love you and follow you. Help me, I pray. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed one last moment. Something we do every week here. Not going to bother you. Not going to embarrass you. But is there somebody with an uplifted hand that would just say, Pastor, I said that prayer with you and I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Can I see your hand just up and down? God bless you. I said it and I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us what love's all about. Pray we'll not soon forget it. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Help us to love people like you loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. God bless you. Thank you so much.